field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do this.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade-to-black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for. That they really contribute to the team each year, and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesh, joined by my father and co-host, Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bears fans. I feel like singing this morning, Tyler. It's so nice out.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Little technical difficulty?
Yeah. There. Okay. We got new mic stands, and we really need to just...
We need to take the time to put them up, don't we?
Yeah. All right.
So, you want to hear my song? Secret Agent Man. Secret
oh, my God. All right. Man. Let's start there. Every new backup is the most popular backup known to man, right?
Yeah, and they always become in. They always go to Canton. You know, they're already enshrined in Canton.
I mean, I was on the road when this game took place. I was listening to it. You were filling me in. I went back and watched some of it, most of it. And look, I mean, I don't know why we do this thing in Chicago where it's like the next best thing. He comes in, you know. Look, Hoyer was going to be hurt. He wasn't even supposed to play in the game. Then he plays. Then he looks horrible. I mean, the Raiders are a bad franchise, too. Let's not get it twisted here. With that being said, I'm not trying to take away anything from... And you know what? I'm going to continue to call him Badgett. I don't care how else... I've heard it pronounced 18 different ways from Sunday. We're just going to go with Badgett. It is what it is. I don't know. I didn't look up how he pronounces it, but that's what we're going to do for this episode.
Yeah.
He did good. He did fine. But look, he's not the next thing since sliced bread. Like, you know, let's not forget Fields had a big game, too, against the Commanders and then came out and had a letdown game. And, I mean, I understand where everyone's head's at.
Yeah, I mean, let's put some, you know, put some brakes on. I was, you know, doing the tongue-in-cheek with the little song. But the bottom line is...
Well, I know I know you are, but a lot of people are like, okay, see ya, Fields.
After
one game.
Yeah, so let's put this in perspective. Was he highly efficient? Yes. But his air yards in terms of passes thrown, do you know what his average air yards are? Because I do. 2.4. That's 2.4 yards per throw. Yes, you can be efficient. He got the ball out quick. I'm not taking anything away from the young man.
I mean, you can run on the Raiders. Everyone knows you can run on the Raiders.
I mean, Foreman had a great game. I mean, just a career type game. So, not taking away. I love the kid's decisiveness. I love his personality. I mean, he's fun. But I do think we have to slow down a little bit and say, okay, you know, he's not replacing Justin Fields. For those who think that that's happening, that's not going to happen. He may buy some more time for Justin Fields until he and instead of rushing him back.
But there's why
we'll see.
I disagree with that in the aspect of why rush back an injured player on a team that's going nowhere. No one's going to rush him back. There's no rush. I mean, no offense to you, but yet you're talking as if we're going to be a playoff team. We're not.
No, so I don't.
But that's what I'm saying.
Team,
but you usually rush someone back when the season's on the line. There's no rush. There's no point. I mean, look, it's the same crummy offense, but, you know, a win's a win, and it does feel good to get one, so I'm not going to take away from that. I know a lot of people are like, oh, but what about the first pick in the draft? Well, guys, look, the Panthers are still... winless. That's our pick. So as long as the Panthers keep doing their part, we're fine. I do want to talk about that later. We'll talk more about the game. Hard game to judge, I feel like.
Yeah, it was. You know, you and I were talking a little bit about this as the game was going on, but you were in your truck. I was watching it. And here's the deal. There were times I didn't recognize the offense I was seeing.
Right.
Which was kind of funny because I'm like, why aren't you running that offense when Fields out there? It's like they were all very short developing plays.
But I thought about that. We did run that offense and we ran that. We're our most consistent trait is inconsistency. And we did run this, and it was called Washington on a Thursday night. And then it was called, you know, the Raiders that are a weak team.
I disagree. Washington, we were throwing some long bombs. We didn't
saying is not in the way the offense is run, but the game in which the offense has efficiency.
Okay, all right. I'll buy that one.
That's what I'm saying. So let's not... What I'm trying to say is let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is still a really bad team, and I'm not trying to... I'm trying to put the realistic brakes on because, like, I've heard people get so, like, dude, you got to be excited about this Tyson Badgett, man, blah, blah, blah. Guys, I was excited about Fields. I mean, I thought Fields was way better, leaps and bounds better than Trubisky. If Tyson Badgett is our guy, I am stoked. I don't see it yet. I'm not saying it's not there. I don't see it yet. I still don't see it in Fields. I continue to go by what I said, where this franchise will ruin anyone. I think we would have ruined Patrick Mahomes. I'm just trying to put on the realistic brakes.
Yeah, I mean the reality of the Las Vegas Bears game was that we ran the crap out of the ball. We threw very efficient short passes. We had the lead. We continued to do what got us the lead, which was very un-Bear-like, by the way. And it didn't hurt to have Jalen Johnson back on defense.
Let's talk about that. What's with these trade rumors? I mean, this is just the sign of a poor franchise, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, we were talking about this in the last podcast. I brought up the rumors that, you know, hey, you know, they think there's thought that they might trade Jalen Johnson. I'm like, okay, why in the world would you do that? I mean, unless you were just completely saying, okay, we can get someone, we can draft someone just like Jalen Johnson, no problem.
But we can't because Stevenson sucks. If I am on the Chargers, I am looking where 29 is and throwing the ball at him all day. I don't care who's on him. I don't care.
Yeah, he's had a rough rookie start.
He's horrible. No, he's horrible. Like, he is bad. You're never going to hear this kid's name again. It's done. It's a wrap. It's over. Tie a bow on it. Goodbye. I'm sorry to be mean, but, like, that is bad. Yeah, that is, beyond bad.
Okay, but I also remember Peanut Tillman's first year, and Peanut Tillman was absolutely terrible. People were calling for his head. He had... Every time he was on someone, they threw to him. He got burned over and over and over again. And Peanut Tillman turned out to be so. I'm sorry. I'm not with you. I'm not writing him. I'm not writing the kid off. He's bad. He's bad this year.
He's getting burned by no names.
It doesn't mean he's going to be bad forever.
I think so. Disagree. Okay. You All put right. on the tape and he's getting burnt on a slant. He's getting burnt on generic basic routes. He cannot keep up. I think it's a wrap. It's done. That's my opinion. And I'm pretty sure we can bring it up later when it happens. Mm-hmm. You're never going to hear about this kid again. I mean, he is bad.
Yeah. Well, and also speaking of bad, it didn't hurt that the Raiders head coach is a coordinator and really not a head coach. Okay.
No, because he's not a coordinator either. He never has been. Let's be honest. He is a puppet. That is all Josh McDaniels is a puppet. Because what does a puppet do? A puppet does whatever the master says to do. The master is Bill Belichick. How many times do we have to go over this? How many times do we have to prove this in the National Football League? This is what I'm talking about. Like, when I get upset about bullshit coaches getting bullshit jobs. What was the whole Pat Patricia goes to the Lions, then he was a defensive coordinator who was a rocket scientist, and that's what I love about commentary in the NFL. They latch on to one single thing, like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Harvard. They keep talking about this guy being, excuse me, being a rocket scientist and everything, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he goes to the Lions, he was our defensive coordinator. Oh, wait, now he's our offensive coordinator.
Yeah. I love those little rocket scientists and Harvard things as if that always translates to football. No, guess what, folks? You can be very good in the real world in what you do. That does not mean it always translates to football.
But it's not even that. It's what I just said is the honest to God's truth. He's a joke. Look, we also won that game because they're Devontae Adams, not happy. He wants traded. Not going to happen. Josh McDaniels is just a...
Oh, he's a joke of a coach.
Well, he's not a coach. And that's what I'm trying to say. Let's be honest. He's going to go back to Belichick. You know why he fits in? Because, again, he's a puppet. That's the only reason he fits in. He's not going to challenge Bill. He's not going to do anything. And that's what Bill wants. That's what he wants. The offense is run through. Bill Belichick is the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, GM, and head coach.
Yeah, and let's face it, Bears fans, we all saw Brian Hoyer play for us. When I knew Brian Hoyer was starting, I was like, okay, I bet with age he hasn't gotten better.
Yeah, but he's hurt.
He's hurt. I know, he's hurt. He wasn't that great when he wasn't hurt.
He's not bad for a backup. He's not bad.
All right. We'll agree to disagree on that one.
You're throwing shade on a guy who wasn't even supposed to play, and then he played, and he's a backup.
Yeah.
I mean, which,
by the way, I don't know why they didn't start the guy from Purdue. He came in and threw
an interception.
Well, I know, but okay. But, you know, if what does it matter at that point in your season, right? Why not see what you have in that that younger guy?
Not a head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many. Honestly, whatever excuse you want to say about the Raiders, it goes back to McDaniel not being a head coach. He's not a coach. He's not a coach. I'm done saying it because it's so true. I get so frustrated. Thank God we are not one of these people. We did interview him. Thank God we didn't hire him.
I know. I was very thankful for that. You know, the other thing I was thinking about looking back at this game is, again, we've got our offensive line injured. One of our starters is not going to be playing on the offensive line. And for the life of me, I just went blank on his name, so I'm very, very sorry. But here's the deal. We're actually, you know, we got out of the game pretty good. We had a couple injuries. We're not in too bad a shape. But the place we're in really bad shape is really at safety. I think it's highly likely that we're looking at playing Hicks and another safety.
You're talking about Braxton Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Ty. Appreciate it, buddy. So I think at safety we might actually be starting kind of two of our backups. Be kind of interesting because, you know, Herbert likes to throw the ball a lot. We've been susceptible to the throw, certainly, and they've been susceptible to the throw. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what Badgett looks like. I think we're going to see a whole lot more than 2.4 yards, air yards per attempt. I think about going to have to. I think the only thing is we could get really run heavy on these guys because you can also run against the Chargers. So that it's kind of interesting how the Las Vegas game kind of may have set up an interesting scenario for the San Diego game. The Chargers game.
L.A.
I know. I know. I had a flashback to a different time. So anyway, I don't know. Do you see that the same way? You see it a little differently?
I wanted to still focus on the game.
Okay.
I didn't want to jump to the other game yet. Okay. We always do that at the end. You always want to do it right off the rip. I understand.
Okay.
And one thing leads to another. I get it. But I wanted to talk about, it feeds into both, but I think the way Wright handled Max Crosby was really promising. That kid has a lot of potential. Like, you want to talk about a rookie making rookie mistakes. There's some things he does that you're like, okay, that's just a rookie. But as far as overall, I think we might have hit a home run with him.
Yeah, I thought he did an outstanding job. I mean,
and he goes against Bosa on Sunday night.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, these are real tests, and he seems to be doing pretty damn good, especially as a rookie. So I think that's a bright side. I wanted to talk to you, too, about, I have it frustrating because it's like, what are we doing on the defensive line? It just seems like a rotation of players. We don't have one guy. We don't have the Max Crosby. We don't have the Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa. We don't. And I get people are probably like, well, dude, those are really good players. And yes, you're right. They don't come along often. But I feel like as a Bears franchise, I feel like our identity's always been defense, and this year our identity's not anything. It's not linebacker, it's not defensive line, it's definitely not safeties or cornerbacks, and it's definitely nothing on the offensive side of the ball. It's like we're literally just sitting in meh land.
Yeah, yeah. I think you hit it right on the button.
Actually, could the brightest spot be right at right guard?
Yeah. Well, you took the words out of my mouth. I was about to say, I think you just mentioned the person who is the brightest spot so far. And you know, it's sad. I mean, come on. Most teams have many more sacks at this point than we do. I mean, we cannot get to the quarterback, which always, as evidenced by even the last game against Vegas, had Hoyer been not as hurt and been able to put the ball on spot a little bit more. I mean, you know, he had plenty of time to throw, and that bothers me. Herbert's going to have plenty of time to throw. I know I keep going there, but I see the ties.
It's fine. Yeah,
I see the ties.
If it's ties, it's fine. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, I wanted to focus on this game. You can tie it. Yeah. What I'm saying is you were like, all right, this game's over, next game. It's like, well, we're not even really into the...
Yeah. No, I get you. So you know, it's sad because it puts, when you don't have a rush, it puts so much pressure on those defensive backs.
So that's what I want to talk about. We kind of glanced over it, and I want to go back to it because we didn't even talk about it. We just kind of went on, we both got lost. I have had no problem. Like, a cornerback position is very hard to play. Very hard to play. Now, I know I just ripped into Stevenson. I stand by it. I don't care. I don't like him. I think he's horrible. But as far as it goes with Jalen Johnson, I think that kid has, you know, he had an ACL tear in college. We got him late. He would have been higher if he didn't. He's bounced back from that beautifully. He's been a little quiet this season, just a little bit until last game, but quiet in a good way. Sometimes when a cornerback is quiet, that means because they're not getting thrown to. But, I mean, he had back-to-back interceptions, like one series to the next. He took one to the house. And to me, to sit here and be like, okay, well, we need to look at trading this guy, it's why?
It's ridiculous.
What are we doing? We're not getting... I want to know the game plan, because what is the game plan to get more, to accumulate more draft picks that you're just going to whiff on? I've said my piece on that, and I'll just say it one more time. I'm just tired of draft picks because we whiff. We whiff every time. It doesn't matter how many we accumulate, we whiff. We whiff whether it's a trade to the Claypool trade, which, and I'll back up. I defended at the time. I mean, I was like, you know what? I think this might be good, because you were seeing Fields be so good with no help. That's gone. Right. That's done. And I mean, that was bad. But what I'm saying is, what do you gain by training him? Do you understand? Because
no,
I don't.
I don't understand at all. And by the way, I think to take some pressure off yourself, because you liked that, the Claypool trade. I liked it at the time. And we got to remember, at the time, Claypool was pretty much had peaked with Pittsburgh. So, I mean, it was kind of the...
Well, we'll see if he gets, you know, this. This is his last chance.
Exactly. We'll see what happens with Miami, right?
I mean, because you have Waddle and Hill.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a shitload of man coverage, you're going to see one-on-ones all over the field.
Well,
and if you're that big and that fast and you're not making anything,
yeah.
And especially with Tua throwing you the ball, I mean,
I think they'll kind of even be lucky to even see him, cuz even their third wide receiver Berrios is getting a lot more touches. So it'll be interesting to see. I just think, hold on, though.
Yeah. I don't think that has anything to do with it. And I'll explain to you why I say this.
Okay.
I don't think Claypool is very bright when it comes to the playbook. He didn't get our... We get him in, what, week six?
Yeah.
He never got ours down that whole year. And then in the offseason, he got ours down and then just gave up on plays. So with the complex, like Luke Getsy's offensive playbook, I mean, other than the verbiage, you could probably memorize. It'd probably be like a kindergarten level,
mm-hmm.
I would say. And then now you're going to the Dolphins and you're getting educated at a college degree level,
yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that's the factor. I don't think it's because you don't trade for a guy, Dad, and be like, okay, he's a fourth. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you don't make that move.
No, I think they. I agree with you. I think they traded him thinking he's going to be a third, or could he even be, you know, a low end number two. But I tell you, it's hard to tell with Claypool. I mean, clearly there were times that he didn't run the right route, wasn't on the same page as the quarterback. There were times that he frickin' quit even blocking for plays. So in my mind, I don't know how much of it is, to your point, that he can't comprehend a playbook, and how much of it is just a guy with a bad attitude. But we'll see, won't we?
I think it's a mixture of both.
Yeah, we'll see. And I think it could be too. Here's the thing. Where's Mooney been this year?
But that was expected. Come on.
I know.
But where's
a number two? Most NFL teams have a number two. I thought against Vegas, okay, we're going to see, you know, maybe could this be.
No, there is no game, Dan. Yeah. There is no scenario. He's dead. He's in the water. He's just floating there.
I think Tyler Scott may have had about as many receptions as Mooney did.
Well,
I mean,
and if you, know, you, but that makes sense, because if you look at it, that's where your reps are coming from most for Badgett, is with players like Tyler Scott.
Yeah,
Tyler Scott's, you know.
I get it, too. They have more time together. There's more of a chemistry
and trust factor building.
It's just really hard to see, because it's kind of like, okay, we've got a quarterback, and we've got Moore, and then we've got our running back, and that's it. So we're always entering these games with, it feels like, handicapped.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you can run on the Raiders, and we proved that. Foreman had a hell of a game, 3 TDs in all.
Had him in my fantasy, man.
Yeah, I know. And he killed it.
Oh, yeah.
So, but the reason I said this is such a hard game to judge is because the Raiders really are that bad of a team. They're on their backup who's hurt. So, like, you're factoring all this in, and you're kind of like, okay, well, where do we stack? Okay, well, at least we got 2 wins. We won't talk about how much time the wins buy. We've already, you know, covered that. I think it is nice to get wins in the when you know that the team that you have the first round pick is, you know, winless.
Yeah,
I think that really helps. If not, I think you're looking at this season like, oh shit, hope some other teams start getting some wins here soon.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots upsetting the Bills, you were like, okay, good. That works, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so much factoring in this season. It's the weirdest thing to be this bad and to be caught up in all these different scenarios, and it sucks that it all has to be draft involved and not playoff scenarios.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. We have to find some gold at the end of this rainbow.
That's our playoff. Those are our playoffs, is the draft scenario.
And by rainbow, I mean just the shittiest colors of the rainbow.
I got you, man. I gotcha. You know, hey, can I just say, remember when I said on our last podcast, if they start throwing with another wide receiver screen, I about lost my mind again. What was it, the second or third play? Yeah. Was again that wide receiver screen. And I want to just say to Getsy, Luke, buddy, well, you're not even my buddy. Luke, asshole, that screen does not work. It continues not to work.
Well, it continues to show you that he is not a good coach, because a coach adapts to what their players are good at. He continues to force feed.
Yeah.
It's literally the best way I can explain it to you is if someone's like, hey, I don't like this food. And he's like, he's not even trying to cook it a different way. He's saying, sit down and eat it. And they're like, well, it's really not that good. Sit down and eat it.
Yeah. You know? I think that's a great metaphor for what's happening.
He's not even trying to disguise things.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't even think he understands the talent around him, because you and I have talked about this. You know, I think he's tried to make Fields this pocket passer like Rodgers.
Can we get away from that narrative of he's trying to make him a pocket passer and that Fields can't be a pocket passer?
No, I'm not saying Fields can't be.
No. Yeah. But that's whatever. Yeah. I'm not saying you. Yeah. I'm saying, can we get away from this narrative? Because let me explain the narrative. When you have shitty routes and shitty runs, he can't throw in the pocket. But all of a sudden, you know, you look back at the Thursday night game, he was slinging it just fine. No one said shit. And it just makes you wonder, because I truly believe Fields is upset because he's getting all this information and he can't just go out and play. He knows the play. Let him make the mistakes. Also, have you noticed Luke Getsy is never on the sidelines with him after the plays?
Yeah.
Never looking at the tablet, never reviewing anything, ever. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mind-boggling to me, like, especially if he's struggling.
Yeah. And by the way, Fields is a stand-up guy, man. He was with Badgett all the doggone time. I mean, just helping that kid out left and right. And I have a lot of respect for that.
I think if anything, you know, Badgett, the moxie and the charisma that this kid brings is that is way more than Fields. And that's not a knock on Fields. That's just the fact of two different personalities.
Exactly. It's very different personalities, you know?
I mean, the only thing that is, if he does, guys, become good and he does perform for us, and we do find that, you know, that diamond in the rough, just get ready. Remember how I said that they lock in on things? The announcers, just get ready for Badgett's dad and the arm wrestling and the championships.
It's already started.
I know, but I'm saying get ready, because you say it's already started. It hasn't even begun yet.
You're saying it's going to go to a new level altogether.
Dude, because I listened to Part of My Take a lot, and I was listening to those guys, and it's funny because they bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick a lot because he became a friend of the program. And they go, hey, did you know you went to Harvard? And it's a joke, because how many times? Yeah. It's like they do is they lock in on one thing.
I know.
It's just insane. And I think that's where we're going with Badgett and Shepherd's University. That gal. Okay, we get it.
Yeah.
And the whole, well, he went to how many times did we hear that? He went to the Peyton Manning Academy, and he realized he could throw with the best of them. God.
And if I hear one more time, you guys know that he's the greatest Division II quarterback out of that division that's ever played the game in terms of yards and touchdowns. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, and we don't see a lot of those people.
But why are they acting like it's never been done? Like, John Kitna played in the league for years, and he was a Division II.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take away from him, but I would just like to focus more on his play and the abilities that he brings to the table, not, hey, this is Ancestry.com.
Right, and speaking of that, and I'm so glad you mentioned focusing on his play, the number one thing that I like about this kid is his decisiveness. And you know what? He's not just going to his first read. The kid is decisive in terms of his reads. And that's actually really super impressive when you think of what little NFL experience he has.
It isn't. And again, I'm not trying to take away, but when you come in and you're blue, it's amazing how good you can play when you have zero pressure. That's a bad phrase. He doesn't have zero pressure. Obviously, he's in the NFL. He wants to stay in the NFL, you know. Right now, he's doing a fantastic job to have a long career by showing that, you know, I can come in, I can be the backup. I was listening to Dan Orlowski talk about what it's, you know, how hard it is to be a backup, because in order to be a backup in the league, he goes, this is going to sound crazy, but you got to be a locker room guy. You have to be. I mean, he's proven that he has the right attitude and everything. But I'm just saying, when you go in there and you're so new and you're so blue, it's easy to sling the rock around.
Yeah, and also, there's not a lot of tape on you from the other
right.
team.
Right, that's a very good point.
Doesn't have a lot of tape on you, so they're kind of
I just want to again the realistic breaks, because everyone. Like, that is always the talk of the town in Chicago, is who's the new QB?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like everyone has that crush. That's the best way I can explain it with Chicago. Like, we always act like the new girl walked into town and everyone's fawning over the new girl because no one's ever seen the new girl, even though that new girl might have been a loser in her other town, you know. Yeah. She's new in this town, and that's always the backup quarterback situation in Chicago. Yeah. It's always like, we're like, what about that guy on the bench, though?
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing, and you mentioned it, and I'm glad you did, and it's kind of shifting more to Foreman. He had a great game, 3 TDs, pretty sure over 100 total yards. And but, you know, with our offensive line, and I'll be the first to say that Las Vegas is one of the worst run defense teams around. But you know what? Let's give the guy some credit, because I feel like part of the media on him was, well, of course he did that. No, it takes some skill to do that. He was running with power. He was running with vision. He was making the most of all the opportunities given to him. And I just want to say, man, I mean, when you think that, Khalil's down, Roshan was out, and he came in as, quote, the third backup. God dang, you got to give the guy credit, man. I mean, and people could say, well, he wouldn't have done that against Cleveland or the 49ers or, you know, Philadelphia's run defense. Yeah, those are all great run defenses. But you know what? Don't take that away from him, man. He played a really great game.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from him. It's just, you know, moving forward, and I guess, you know, the Chargers aren't... It's weird, because we can start talking about this game now, I feel like. With the Raiders, you kind of knew what you were getting into. But now with the Chargers, it's weird because the Chargers aren't that good this year. They've played a lot of close games. They continue not to know how to execute and not to know how to push the ball. Staley is probably going to be gone as a head coach. We'll probably pick him up because that's what we do. We like to pick up the coaches that get fired.
Because we have such a good front office that knows what to do with them.
But again, where did he come from? He was our linebacker coach under Vic Fangio. On, guys. Like, when you pluck people from, like, that's just a weird way to go about it. So, anyhow, what I'm trying to say is when it comes down to this game, they're not very good. But, yeah, I feel like we are going to get slaughtered.
Well, we could. And here's the question mark that I have. And it's really about the run game. Eckler was out on injured. They didn't actually put him on injured reserve, but he was out 3 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Ever since he's been back, I think he's still... that ankle's bothering him. The rumor is that the other ankle's now hurt, but they're not acknowledging that. He looked really, really bad. Kelly, who's behind him, he's not an NFL running back. So I think the Bears have an opportunity if they become one-dimensional, but I think we could be slaughtered if Eckler is on his game.
Well, and then we have a conundrum on our hands that I don't know how many people thought about, but it keeps me up at night. I don't want Badgett to fail. I want him to do good, but I want him to do good and lose. I can't do another year of this. I can't do another year of Eberflus. I think he has to be gone, but my fear is that if Tyson goes on a roll here, they're going to go, hey, see?
Yeah, it's not the coach.
It's not, yeah. And the reason I'm saying that, and I know some people could be like, well, what do you mean? I thought you said that this offense sucks and that Luke Getsy, anyone would fail under him. Well, my fear is that, and here's my fear, DJ Moore is a playmaker. He's a hell of a wide receiver. And Badgett has a lot of moxie with the kind of a gunslinger mentality. So my fear is, well, what if he just starts throwing the balls up? What if it's I'm talking bad play calling and everything, but he just says, you know what? I don't care about interceptions. I'm just going to go throw it. Like, screw it. And it starts to work. That's my fear.
Yeah.
Because now we're kind of sitting here going, I don't want to lose, but like my whole thing is I just wish they could come out and say, hey, no matter if Eberflus wins out the rest of the year, he's gone, okay, guys? Yeah. Then I'd be like, thank God. Now we can go perform.
Yeah.
It's like have this lingering over us.
You hit it right on the button, Tyler. I feel the same way. I'd be like, I was about to tell you that it's the weirdest feeling. I felt this with the Las Vegas game. I was rooting for the Bears to win, and then I'm going, but wait a second. Does this mean that if they win the Vegas game, that they start to look at Getsy and Eberflub as people they ought to keep? And then it made the win feel less good because I'm like, oh, no, they can't possibly, right? Their front office isn't that screwed up. And then I thought, Oh, yeah, it is. They could easily say, oh, you know what? Hey, look what they're doing. Look what Eberflub is doing with the defense. Oh man, the defense is coming on. They got two interceptions. Look what Getsy's doing with this new badging guy. I mean, and then it went through my head like that, and I'm like, oh, please, Lord, don't let this win encourage them to keep these guys, because if it did, it would be a disaster. Ugh. Oh, I don't even want to think about that, Ty. Don't even want to think about it for a minute. It's giving me heartburn. I'm going to take this drink right now, and it is water, gentlemen and ladies. It is not hard stuff this early in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a fearful thing of...
I could see that scenario coming, man. I don't want it. It would make watching the game so much easier if they did that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fantastic.
But we know that's probably not going to happen. But it would be the wisest thing and the best thing for the fans.
How worried are you about Keenan Allen? Because I'm worrying.
Yeah, I think he could. I think he could shred us up pretty doggone well. Yeah,
I think that if I were them, I'd just put Jalen on him, see how he does.
We're not playing a lot of man on them.
That's a problem. But that's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we continue to do. We do this cover two, no big plays. Well, they're going to nickel and dime us. They're okay with that.
Yeah,
I think
they specialize in that.
I think a bigger problem too is Austin Ekeler. I think Ekeler, just the ability of his catching ability on our linebackers. I mean, look, face it, he's a mismatch on any linebacker. But like,
healthy. I don't know if he's healthy.
I don't think it matters. I mean, he played pretty good last week, didn't he?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think he really did. I watched part of the game he played. He was not showing much explosiveness at all in terms of his runs. He was getting stuffed a lot more at the line. I want to be clear, I didn't watch the whole game.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game.
Yeah, but what I saw wasn't...
For some reason, I was thinking it was the Cowboys game.
No, it wasn't, but...
Well, yeah, no shit. No shit. I'm sitting here, I go, I think it was the Cowboys game, and you're like, no. It's like, okay, well aware.
I know, buddy.
I'm looking at the stats, but I don't. Hold on. Let me actually. I'm eating some really bad crow.
Okay.
Here, because he didn't do good against the. Man, he had 14 carries, 27 yards against the Cowboys. So yeah. My bad. Scouting report on Austin Ekeler, pretty bad. But if there's a team he could come alive against, it's the Bears. Hey, yeah, I'm trying to save face here.
Well, I get it. I get it, man. So, you know, if I think they beat us. I'm not being negative. Just because of that, they obviously have more talent on the field than we do. They have a better offensive scheme than we do. Well, pretty much everyone but Carolina has a better offensive scheme than we do. But I think the only way that we come out with a W on this game and is literally if they have to become one-dimensional and only throw the ball, then I think we could control. I think if we got the lead and just ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball, I could see us eating up the clock, keeping Herbert and Allen off the field. That's the only scenario I see. How about you?
Yeah, I feel like the more we talk about it, I'm like, maybe we won't get killed now just because the Chargers are who they are and they keep every game close. But then I'm like, man, without a pass rush, and then they have a pass rush. I mean,
that will be the. I love that you brought that up because that will be really interesting of how we handle that pass rush. That could be the real deciding factor.
Does Khalil Mack get up for this game?
You know, I know announcers like to say, oh, it's his old team, he's going to get up.
I feel like they do that if there's bad blood. I don't know.
I don't think there's that much bad blood. I actually think he was kind of relieved to go there.
But I don't think there's any bad blood.
I don't really think there's a lot of bad blood there. I don't think there's a lot of revenge.
I don't think there's a lot. I don't think there's any.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll go with...
It wasn't like he was disruptive in the locker room and stuff.
No,
so
he was a great team player, everyone said when he was here. I think it was just a business decision. He's a professional. He knew it was a business decision. I do not see this as any kind of revenge factor. But again, you know, when you have Mac on one side and you have Bosa on the other side... And you now have one of your offensive line out. It could be a problem.
Now I'm not trying to knock people, but I had someone come up to me and ask me why. I'm flipping over here, but I just remembered this. I had a person come up and ask me, why'd we get rid of David Montgomery for Khalil Herbert? Like, why? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, and I mean, look, the proof's in the pudding. He's hurt again. He's hurt time after time after time. He's just not, I mean, look, this is a business, and I'm not trying to be cruel, but if you can't stay healthy, then how do I justify giving you a position? And to me, a player that's he can't stay healthy, so what's the point?
Yeah.
And I'm glad we moved on from him, and the Lions can have him. And he's probably, he's happy too, because he's on a winning team now.
Yeah, he's happy too. And when he plays, he's playing well. It's just the fact that you have to always account for the fact that he's going to be injured and that he's going to have a certain percentage of his games, sometimes up to a third of his season out. And when you draft him, you know that, or you should at least know that, should have done your research. But it is what it is.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, I don't know how I feel now. I felt like we could get killed in this game, and now I'm sitting here like doing research while you're talking, and I don't know how I feel about this game.
Yeah, I personally think this will be closer than
they have the Chargers at -8.5.
It's going to be closer than that, I think.
I do too. I really think that too. Are we so like? Here's where I'm at. Are we solely basing this off the results of the Chargers? Like, or is it like a matchup thing? Like, okay, I just think it's such a hodgepodge.
It is. Well, it's a combination, but also the other factor is their second wide receiver. Is it Parker? Their second wide receiver is questionable with a hammy. And so, if you're talking about an injured Eckler, you've got your Keenan Allen, number one. That Quentin Smith is your rookie. He was a first-rounder who was drafted. And it could be Keenan Allen and your rookie at wide receiver spot with an injured Eckler. I mean, I'm not saying I think we'll keep it closer than -8, but it's not going to be because we're such a good team. It's going to be that they have a series of injuries and people out that make them more one-dimensional. So that's my take on it.
Right now, their injury report is Mike Williams is on IR. Joshua Palmer,
Wide receiver. Palmer. I said Parker. It's Palmer.
Palmer, questionable.
Yeah. Right.
Leonard, the cornerback, questionable. The safety, Gilman, questionable. And Everett, the tight end, questionable. So They have a bunch of questionables. Terrell Smith for us is out. Brisker is questionable. Eddie Jackson is questionable. Braxton Jones, obviously he's on IR. And Fields is obviously out too. Let's just throw some stats out there. We don't do this typically, but with this game, I kind of feel like, you know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, these guys are susceptible to the pass, like you said, Dan. The team stats, passing yards, we average 206 a game. They average 273. That's quite a difference.
Yep.
Rushing yards, we're averaging about 141 a game. They're only averaging 111. So, you know, I feel like Herbert's going to be slinging that rock.
He will be.
Yards allowed, you know, they're allowing 432 yards a game. That is astonishing. We're right on the heels there. Well, not really. We're about 100 yards off, but we're at 348. Here's where it's crazy. Pass yards allowed. We are allowing 265 passing yards per game. They are allowing astonishing 335 passing yards per game. Also, I didn't know how bad of a defense they have. Their rushing yards allowed are 96, and ours are only 82.
Yeah. Yeah. So
did they get that spread wrong or what?
I think they did. I do not see them winning by eight.
It's 8.5, so it'd be 9.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so
they'd have to win by 9 or more.
Yeah.
It's the degenerate gambler in me that came out.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you take the Bears on the spread.
I think you do.
I think we just talked everyone into making a lump sum of money this weekend. Bet responsibly.
There we go. So this game's going to be closer. We're already predicting it. I think it's closer than 9.
Can I just say, I think it's so funny how we come in here with our preconceived notions and then we sit down and we have a conversation and I'm like, oh shit, I totally flip-flopped, by the way. Well, I came in, I told you, I was like, I think we get killed this game, and he's like, well, let's just crack these mics open. So we start talking and now I'm like, guys, I think it's going to be close.
Yeah.
I
know. That happens to you and I all the time because people can tell when they listen to this podcast, we don't rehearse shit. And we just come
it's
in.
Very apparent. Very apparent. Very apparent. By both of us. Yeah. Not just one.
Exactly.
Both.
Exactly. And we just come in and we just are ourselves because we figure we are just two Bear fans talking to other Bear fans. And that's the way it should be.
Well, I'm just glad we're getting a different variety because, like I said before, I was getting so frustrated talking about the coaching, talking about the GM.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, we do have, there is a little light at the end of the tunnel. That light is really, really helping by the 0-6 Panthers.
Yes, it is.
Go Texans this weekend. They play the Texans this weekend.
That's right. Texans are going to kill them. They really are. They got CJ Stroud's back. I mean, they've got Tank is back. They're going to put in your Texans, man. Put in your Texans.
Now let's do something where we do a loop back.
I
said I wanted to talk about it, and I feel like now is as good as ever time to talk about it. I know you're not you don't watch much college ball, to be fair.
No, I
watch
don't.
A lot more than you.
Absolutely.
You had the take that after the Notre Dame game that Caleb Williamson, you're like, I don't see what they see in him. Whoa, buddy, I'm kind of getting on the same boat with you, and I'm starting to wonder if this kid is going to be a bust, and I'm worried that do we take him? And then
that's kind of what I'm worried about, Ty. I mean,
because the problem is, and we know this in the National Football League, that when they build up so much hype, they don't have these progressive talks like we do on 34 to Glory. Because honestly, like I just said, I flip-flopped. They don't flip-flop. I feel like when a player, and I always refer to this, is Aaron Curry. I'll never forget that guy. His name came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And the Raiders took him 3 overall in a draft. And the reason that name always stands out to me, I'm like, wow. A linebacker had one good combine, and he makes this kind of leap, and he only played in the league for like 3 years. It's like, just stick to your guns. One, if I was a scout, I'd be like, look, we don't even need to go to the combine unless you want to go hang out in Indianapolis. Go to St. Elmo's. It's a very good restaurant.
Right. Have their steak there, by the way.
Yeah, and their cocktail sauce is amazing.
Yeah.
And, go there, kick back, have some drinks, hang out with the fellas. But, I mean, I would say as far as, like, they're just numbers, man. Stats lie.
Well, yeah, they do lie. And, well, there's that old saying, there's lie, damn lies, and then there's statistics. And, yeah, you got to be careful about it. Here's the thing for me, Tyler. I don't watch nearly as much college football as you do, and I could have this wrong, but I want to tell you at least what my observation is that the college commentators and the press at the college level, and it's not so much unlike the NFL, starts to develop a stereotype, a positive stereotype of a player, and then they fall into what I call confirmation bias. You familiar with confirmation bias? That's when you have a belief system and then you look for all the things in your environment that confirm that belief system. Right? Is that not what's happening with Caleb Williams? They start out with this positive viewpoint of him. And then every time he does something that's close to that viewpoint, again, that confirmation bias gets reinforced and reinforced. So the good thing about confirmation bias is it does allow you to see what's good and the strengths of a particular player. The bad thing about confirmation bias is you don't open yourself up to seeing the whole player.
I mean, he went out against Utah, and he was 24 of 34 for 56 yards, no TDs, and then he ran the ball 10 times for 27 yards. So Utah is a good defense, and they have a good team. It's a little worrisome that, you know, when the big boys come to play. And, and also that could not be a knock on him. That could be Lincoln Riley. You know, the coach continues to fail. It's very iffy.
Yeah, I'm at, too.
And, like, do we go down... here's the thing. Do we go down that route again?
Oh,
do we go down the route? Well, hold on. You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Oh, I thought with Caleb. I thought with Caleb.
I know, but you don't... Let me finish. Do we go down the route of the classic? Remember, Ohio State's never had a successful quarterback in the NFL. Uh-oh, the Bears got Justin Fields. Well, who's USC ever had?
Good point.
The only name that goes into my head is Carson Palmer.
Yeah, that's exactly who popped into my head.
That's it. I mean, look at Matt Barkley. He played for us. Remember how that went? And he was a star at USC. Look at Matt. Or a
frickin' disaster.
Or what is his name? Who's the other guy? Oh, my God. I am blanking. It's another Matt, I feel like. Why am I blanking on his name? I just watched that stupid video where him and Brady Quinn accidentally broke into Notre Dame Stadium. Why am I blanking on his name?
I am too. We'll think of it. We can keep going. But I get where you're coming from. I seriously need another cup of coffee before I came over here today, man. But that's neither here nor there. Because I am blanking on his name, and I was blanking on a couple other names earlier. So, uh-oh.
You're doing a horrible job of stalling.
I know. I know I am. I'm
Matt Leinart. I knew it was a Matt.
There we go, Matt Leinart.
I knew it was a Matt.
Yep.
Yeah, but like he was horrible.
I agree. He was so.
You have Carson Palmer, Matt Barkley, Sam Donald. Remember Sam?
Oh, I remember Sam.
Mark Sanchez.
Oh, the butt fumble.
I mean, I'm telling you, there's not been a lot of Matt Castle. Like their mats, don't they?
They like their mats. Their mats have not seemed to pan out.
You sit here and you wonder.
Yeah, I know. I know where you're coming from, and I wonder too. And if we go that way, how far back does that put us? I mean, we got to get a whole new group of people in who can think the way the current NFL is evolving.
But that's the problem, Dad. The hype is he is the new NFL. He's mobile. He's a pocket passer. He can run when need be. Very athletic. Big arm. Hey, I do have a question, and I propose this question to you, and you do not know it's coming, and we'll wrap up and finish with this.
Okay. I'm on edge.
Is it better to be a Bears fan or a 49ers fan? Now, let me explain. I know. You're looking at me perplexed.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're bad, but how bad does it suck to root for a team who is only missing one piece of the puzzle? The rest of the puzzle is solved, and you have to talk yourself into Brock Purdy. He's not playing bad, but they're not going to win with him.
That's a great question.
Because at first you thought it was easy.
I did. I was looking at you like, have you taken crazy pills this morning? Of course it's 49ers. Of course. Who wouldn't want to be a 49ers fan at this point in time? You've got McCaffrey. You've got Debo. You've got Anuk. You've got all these weapons on offense and defense. Of course you'd want to be a 49ers fan. And then you got me to think. Oh, boy.
I mean, I guess you're getting some Super Bowl appearances, maybe.
I still got to go. Right now, I still think I'd be a 49ers fan, man.
I was putting you in, but you got me thinking.
You got me thinking.
We will end. I lied. We're going to end on this. Listen, the whole Michigan scandal right now that's going on, just for everyone trying to link Jim Harbaugh to the Bears, it's not going to happen, guys. That was not a good exit from him. Stories have been told that he butts heads with the McCaskies. Just because he's a former player doesn't mean he's coming back. And two, I think if he did, let's say hypothetically, came back to coach the Bears, I think you're looking at two things. One, has the game passed him by? Is he going to be able to adapt? Because when he played as a 49ers head coach, it was defense first, offense second. And it was quarterback run the ball. Like, it was very, very, very defense-oriented, and it's like, well, then we're just going right back to where we're at. So I would not get hopes up. I know that the scandal's going on, and it's a weird scandal because it's like, I don't know if you saw what Dion said.
No, I know nothing about this scandal, by the way. Nothing.
Really?
No, I am not...
There was a videographer, a guy they hired was caught recording hand signals for teams, and now it's going as deep as saying that the Michigan was giving the signals to other teams so that they could upset teams that Michigan didn't want to play in the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, it's nothing's proven, but then like you have other coaches and stuff, and like you have Dion going, I'll give you the playbook. Don't matter. So I don't know. Again, I don't know. A lot of people are saying it matters. A lot of people are saying that it's an unspoken rule, that it happens all the time, and that like Michigan fans are getting mad saying, you know, this happens all the time. This is an unspoken rule. And they're trying to bring us down because we got good. It's funny how college bleeds into the NFL so much, because then you have Bears fans going, oh my God, he used to play for us. You know, does he take the Pete Carroll way out? Because remember, Pete Carroll had all that controversy in USC before he jumped ship to Seattle.
He sure did.
So they're saying, well, maybe Harbaugh, you know, that's the way back to the NFL. So, like I said, I don't think it's going to happen. I just wanted to touch on it before we got out of here.
No, I think that's a real good point. And I'm sorry, I know so little of that. I mean, you educated me right there on the spot.
Real quick prediction before we leave. Bears, Chargers, keeping it close?
Keeping it close. I'm now going to say that maybe it's a Charger 24-21 win.
Wow. Okay, I'll take it. You know why? Because I am going to take that +8.5 on the Bears. So remember, it's always a good time when you
bear down.